I told Jeff, respectfully, that I wanted to go after him so I could disagree with him. Since the end of the Cold War, a lot of people in hardline think tanks, Defense Department, so on and so forth, have been looking at China as our next great threat. And indeed, if it were the next great threat, I think I would agree with Jeff much more than I do. But I don't think it's really quite logical to believe that China is going to challenge us militarily, and perhaps not even so much economically. Let's go back to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was a different kind of animal. It tried to create a global economic system distinct from the Western system. It tried to create a global political system distinct from the Western system. In contrast, China learned a lot about the collapse of the Soviet Union. It learned that the Soviet way of doing things economically didn't work. The Chinese were heading into bankruptcy by the early 70s. We all know that. They learned that if you were going to prosper in the future, you really had to join the Western system cautiously, do it with Chinese characteristics and so on. But they have done that. They have joined the Western economic system. They haven't quite joined the Western political system. But today, we're in a bizarre situation where the U.S. economy and the Chinese economy are tightly intertwined. We all know about the China price. The China price is the lowest possible price you can get for manufactured goods. It's not always in China, but they do manufacture a lot of goods for export to the West. They're in the business of Walmart in America. They're also buying a large piece of our national debt every year. If it weren't for the Chinese and the Japanese and the Saudis, we'd be paying much higher interest rates in this country because those countries are willing to buy our treasuries. We need China. We need their cheaply manufactured goods. We need for them to buy treasuries. In return, they need us. They have huge unemployment in China. They have a lot of uprisings, at least we hear about them, minor uprisings in the western provinces. They need to provide jobs. They need to provide some degree of prosperity. Why on earth would they want to challenge us in a military sense? That would simply, even if it didn't come to an active conflict, if things turned really sour with an arms race, it would poison the atmosphere. So I'm not sure we need to think in 20th century terms for the future. We're looking at global problems without end. And I don't want to do a laundry list ranging from global warming to runaway pathogens crossing national boundaries. We need a great deal of mutual cooperation, global cooperation in this century to support the planet. We have more than 6 billion people and rising on our planet. We need some high degree of cooperation, and I don't think we're going to have that if we, meaning the United States, pursues an arms race in space. And I underline that we're the initiators here. From the very start, right after Sputnik, Thomas Dresser White, Chief of Staff of the Air Force under President Eisenhower, said the goal of all Americans should be control of space. There's been an undercurrent ever since then that people who I call space warriors, and I don't mean to insult them that way, they're good people, they're patriotic, they're trying to protect the country as best they can, but space warriors have tended to believe that we should someday achieve the capability to control space in a time of conflict. Now, this really came out in the open in a big-time way after the end of the Cold War. By the late 1990s, we were talking about control of space in rhetorical documents, doctrinal documents, space dominance. It's no wonder that other countries, including China and Russia, India, are pretty wary of the United States. We have huge technical capabilities. Many people believe that we can do almost anything we want to. I don't for a minute believe that we could really control space, but we talk about it a lot. I don't believe we could dominate space, but we talk about it a lot. And this is the old action-reaction dynamic of the Cold War coming back. If we talk about doing it, other countries, like China, are going to react. I think it's time to break that 20th century paradigm and start working on, see if we can craft a treaty. I think it would be hugely difficult. I think Jeff is right. It would be hugely difficult. But we have refused, year after year, to talk about, in a serious way, talk about a treaty. We say, first of all, that there's no arms race in space. We don't say that quite so easily now because the Chinese did destroy a satellite more than a year ago. We say you can't define space weapons. That would be difficult, but how do we know we can't define it if we don't engage in serious talks? And further, we say we want to keep our options open. Since the early 1980s, countries in the UN General Assembly have voted overwhelmingly to ask the Conference on Disarmament to pursue a new space treaty. And in the Conference on Disarmament, we simply don't do it. We veto the effort. It's a complicated deal. It's mixed up with other factors, too. The Chinese haven't been all that great in helping that along, but we simply don't want to do it. I think it's time to turn that around. We could sit down and talk seriously for 2 or 3 years. We're so far ahead that we wouldn't lose any ground. We could call their bluff. You say you want a space treaty? Let's see if we can do it. And maybe after 2 or 3 years, we learn that they're really posturing and it's not going to be possible, but we have to pursue that. Why don't we pursue it? I link it to the old spirit of American exceptionalism, the idea, going back to the 1600s, that this new land was a opportunity for mankind to start the world anew, that by providential right or perhaps because of civic virtue, we had a right to do anything we wanted to in global affairs. Now, that American exceptionalism has waxed and waned. It reached a high point during and after the Spanish-American War, and it died down a lot after World War I. But there's been a real resurgence of it since the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of the Cold War. And we've seen it in a triumphalist spirit in Congress and on editorial pages and in general politics. We've seen it in the thinking of neoconservatives that America has won the Cold War and it's time for American hegemony. I think we've got to look hard at that. If we insist on applying that kind of thinking to space, we're going to have an arms race in space. There's no question about that, I think. And I would argue that the opportunity cost, again, the opportunity cost would be very great. How are we going to attack the global problems if we are promoting ourselves an arms race in space? Certainly, China's going to react, India's going to react, Russia's going to react. Who knows, maybe the European Union would at some point. We've got to look at ourselves very carefully. Are we the instigators of the arms race, not the Chinese? Thank you.